Happy 104.
Hello, good morning. It's Abbey 104, 11:05 on Sunday morning. I'm Terry Bennett. It's time for Folk Tales. And it's a Folk Tales with a little bit of a difference today, because we're doing Folk Tales on Abbey 104. And here to speak on behalf of the station is Taff Martin, who's the chairman. Good morning, Taff.
Morning, Terry. How are you today?
Yeah, good, thank you. So it's high time we did a bit of a review of Abbey, because not everybody will know the history of the station and what it now comprises.
Well, to be honest, it's been quite interesting, really. It's been quite a ride. You know, it's been going for about 7 years now, and it's gone through many incarnations, many, many different presenters and people involved left, right and centre. And it's been a great ride, and I'm really proud of what we've achieved so far.
Tell us, what exactly is a community radio station? What differentiates it from any other radio station?
I think community radio stations technically was set up a little bit between a charity and a commercial, in that we weren't allowed charitable status as such, but we couldn't also then use non-stop advertising. So we had to raise money via donations, fundraising ourselves, which we did through various aspects. Also getting involved in as many events in town as well, which enabled us to get some more donations, which kept the station running. Another thing that we did is that every member pays a membership fee towards the running of the station, because I think once you feel like you're paying something towards it, you feel like you're a member of it, you feel part of it, and I think that's great for the station. In the same way that people are part of a golf club, for instance, they're paying towards, their money is paying towards the running of it, they feel a part of it. And I think that's important.
The members are very much a part of the station, but it's also very much the community station, isn't it? Hence the name. And it's different from a commercial station, is it not? Because our remit is to cover things which commercial stations may not want to get involved in.
Exactly. Real radio, as in like the commercial stations, like The Breeze and like Radio 2 and all that, a lot of them have lost sight of who they're actually serving, because they don't actually see them a lot of the time. As a community radio station, we're actually right in the town or in the villages, and we're involved with those people. We're trying to bring them in. We're trying to link them up to each other. And I think that's really important. With the advent of people living further and further from London and commuting, there's more people buying homes in small communities such as villages, and less people actually living there throughout the week. That means less people using the post office, the pub and things. Those things are shutting down the hubs of the towns and all that. And it's important that they have a means of communicating with everybody else around them. When some of the villages put great things on, like Yepminster, for instance, puts on a big Yepminster fair. And that's wonderful. And Abbey 104 is involved with that, telling people about it. We help with all the entertainment and the announcements and things like that. And it's great to be part of.
Okay, we're going to do our usual wander through the history of Abbey, but we'll intersperse it with some records, and I've tried to choose some records here which have got radio overtones. You can tell me later how successfully we've done that. But anyway, this one's WOLD by Harry Chapin, and we'll come back and have a chat after that.
Hello, honey, it's me. What did you think when you heard me back on the radio? What did the kids say when they knew it was their long-lost daddy-o? Remember how we listened to the radio, and I said, that's the place to be. And how I got the job as an FM jock the day you married me. It was two kids and I was into AM rock, but I just had to run around. It's been 8 years since I left you, babe. Let me tell you about what's gone down. I am the morning DJ at WOLD. wherever you may be. The bright good morning voice who's heard but never seen. Feeling all of 45 going on 15. The drinking I did on my last big gig, it made my voice go low. They said that they liked the young sound when they let me go. So I drifted on down to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to do me a late night talk show. Now I've worked my way down home again here to Boise, Idaho. That's how this business goes. I am the morning DJ at WOLD. Playing all the hits for you wherever you may be. The bright good morning voice who's heard but never seen. Feeling all of 45 going on 15. I'm making extra money doing high school sock hops. I'm a big time guest MC. You should hear me talking to the little children and listen what they say to me. Spot on the top of my head, just begging for a new toupee. There's a tire around my gut from sitting on it, but it's never gonna go away. Sometimes I get this crazy dream that I just take off in my car. But you can travel long 10,000 miles and still stay where you are. Thinking that I should stop this jockeying and start that record store. Maybe I could settle down if you take me back once more.
Well, that's Harry Chapin and WOLD. And in the studio this morning, I've got Taff Martin, who's chairman of Abbey 104. And we're just having a bit of a chat about the station, how it came to be, and we'll get on to what it's going to look like in the future in due course. But how did it all start, Taff? When and how and who had the idea and what happened?
Well, I think it initially started somewhere in the region around 2011, somewhere around there, where a couple of people started talking about it, mainly a guy called Chris Tucker, who was involved, and he's a Sherborne guy at the time. He pushed this forward because he thought there was a bit of a black spot around Sherborne, that we've got BBC Southampton, we've got BBC Plymouth, we've got BBC Bristol, but we were a bit of a no man's land in the centre. Now, Chris Tucker wanted to change that and put us on the map a little bit. He got some other people involved. I'm not sure exactly who some of the people were, because some of them were gone before I'd even started. One of them was a guy called Dan Gruner, who was much more of a technical whiz kid and a very, very clever chap. And he put a lot of the things together, such as wiring the studio up, for instance, and things like that, and did a great job. Chris worked really hard at that time, putting everything into it, including quite a bit of his own money, I must admit, you know, to keep it working. And that showed his commitment to the town and the radio station. I got involved, I would have thought, somewhere around about August, September 2012. And there was a lot of talk at the time, because the station was going to be called Radio Sherborne. And I thought that was a mistake. A couple of other people were saying, we shouldn't be called Radio Sherborne, because that means it's just Radio Sherborne. And I agreed. And I said, why don't we call it Abbey? Because everybody thinks of Abbey as being part of Sherborne. But like all the villages, they're all around us, and they've all got little churches, and they all come under the diocese of the Abbey. So in a way, we're in Sherborne, but all the villages would still come under us. That's the way I wanted to look at it. But also, AWB makes us one of the first radio stations you find in the book as well, so it's good for marketing. And it made it nice and easy to say Abbey 104 as opposed to Radio Sherborne. So that was the way forward.
thinking about the actual setup, which Chris must have, he must have gone through that process, and it's before both of our times, so we don't know the exact detail, but setting up a radio station is not for the faint-hearted, and we've seen Keep 106, and that took quite a long time to get off the ground, didn't it? Because you've got to persuade Ofcom that there's a need for this radio station, that you're not crossing over with anybody else's output, and what your demographic's going to be and all that.
Yeah, and you have to go through certain tests as well. You have to show that you can actually commit to being a radio station. You've got enough shows to do it, which is not the way it seems to be done nowadays, I can say. But the time is very much you have to show that you can actually upkeep a radio station. You have to do some radio shows, which, to be honest, in the beginning, they weren't very good quality, but sometimes you'd get like a temporary broadcast allowance to work over a weekend. So we'd go live for a weekend to try a couple of things out. That worked. There was enough people wanting to get involved. Mary was involved even back then.
She was
one of the very first. I think Ken was involved back then.
There's Ken Green.
That's Ken Green. Yeah. I'm trying to think who else was involved. In fact, I think it was only me, Ken, and Mary, possibly, who were still involved then. I'm not even sure if Phil was involved. I'm not 100% sure. But I'm glad we did, because Phil is one of the real unsung heroes of Abbey.
Yeah, Phil Clements, who would normally do Sunday morning programme and is also our programme controller.
And he does a huge amount behind the scenes.
He certainly does, absolutely. Yeah. And he's our technical man as well in some respects, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
So the station actually started online, didn't it? It was a little while before we got the FM.
You had to go online, and unfortunately at the time, I don't think people really worked very hard at putting online. If you're online and you're building up a bit of a following, when you go to FM, it's easier to transition. Eventually, we went on air. We had a launch party at the Eastbury Hotel. And
that was February 13, wasn't it?
That was February the 13th in 2013.
Yeah,
and the day before Valentine's Day. And I think my first show, I went out on Valentine's Day on the 14th. I think I went out something like about 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. I was absolutely scared to death. That was my first proper show, and I was like absolutely terrified.
Because your background isn't radio, is it?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. I got involved because I'm not entirely sure. I think I seen a little flyer saying, would you like to be involved in radio? And I thought, well, you know, I'd like to be involved in the music side of things, but I don't know if I could be involved in the radio, that aspect. And eventually I had very, very little amount of training, and I was thrown in at the deep end. I thought originally about doing something like a rock and roll show, because I love rock and roll. And then there's no country music on there. There's all sorts of other stuff. So I thought, well, I'll do a country show. And I've really enjoyed doing it. I love country music, as you probably gathered.
I think I got that, yes.
Yeah. But also, we needed a wide variety of music. And at the time, we didn't have a huge amount of presenters. So we had to try and put out as much of a variety as possible. Chris Tucker, although he was a director at the time, he was also doing a show. He was doing like a 60s show. We had Ken doing like another morning show. Phil Clements is doing a morning show. But it's very hit and miss about how much proper real presenting time we had on there. So we had a few people on that left very quickly. Some people lasted a bit longer. But we actually started off on FM in Georgian House, which is opposite Gordon and Curtis, at the top of Green Hill.
Oh, up on, Green Hill, top of the town.
Yeah, we was in the downstairs room and they're looking out towards the town centre. Quite interesting when fire engines went past, you know, just as you're trying to do present the show. But it's a lovely little spot it was there. We was there for almost 2 years. Then the lease ran up on that. So we were looking for a new place. And the Mermaid, which is now the Carpenter's Arms, offered us temporary accommodation. So we went upstairs in the function room, literally with just a curtain across the front of the microphones and things to dampen the noise down. We was in there about 2 weeks, and then Phil Clements actually found this place. He just happened to be dealing with somebody and spoke to somebody, and they said, oh, they were leaving. Phil got the details.
And we should say, for anybody that hasn't had the pleasure of visiting the studios at Abbey 104, we are now in Coombe.
That's right, yeah.
Next to Timberwise. And, well, it's not large, is it? But it serves our needs pretty well.
Compact and bijou, I should say, yes, as they were saying. But it's a lovely little studio, and one of the things that's great about it is it's so friendly. You know, as soon as you walk in through the door, there's a glass screen in front of you. You can see the presenter. And we do have an open door policy for the community. We like people to actually walk in and say hello. And we're quite happy to put people on air very, very quickly if they've got something to say as well.
Okay, we'll break and have some music in a moment, but the actual early days then, the schedule would not have been a 24-hour schedule.
No.
But did we still have a sustained system as we do now?
We did have a sustained system. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, it wasn't as good as we got it now. Phil has put a system in place which has got a good selection of music, but also there's something for everybody there, and that's really important because as a community station, we're not aimed at the youngsters, we're not aimed at just the old people, we're aimed at the whole community. And so there must be something for everybody there.
And that plays, in case you haven't tuned in at 4 a.m, it will always be there, whatever time you
it will be, yeah.
Okay, let's break and have another track. And this is Elvis Costello, isn't it? And a track called Radio Radio.
I think this is great because partly down, this would have been late 70s. And I think this is a time when radio was still king. In the early 80s, more and more video came up and things, and so-called killed the radio star, but
we may get onto that one in a minute.
We may get onto that, yeah.
Let's have Elvis Costello first. Elvis Costello and the Attractions and Radio Radio. In the studio this morning is Taff Martin, chairman of Abbey 104. We're talking about the birth and the growth of Abbey over the years.
And the growing pains.
Yeah, the growing pains, quite right. Taff, we got to the stage where we had the Eastbury Hotel was back in February 2013. That's when we launched the FM signal.
That's right, yeah.
What's happened since then? It's obviously come a long way, hasn't it?
It has. Being that I was there right from the moment we went on air, I'm actually very proud of the members of the station and what we've achieved, because it hasn't been easy. We was viewed at times with a certain amount of distrust, as in, oh, just somebody else who wants money. And yes, we need money to survive, as any kind of community enterprise does. But we can only do good if we're here. And that's an important point. But we wanted to show that we could survive on our own 2 feet, which meant, you know, when we come into this premises in Coombe, it was very easy to just, let's just chuck everything in and put computers left, right and centre. But we suddenly realised that our electricity bill was enormous. Now, at the time, we had cameras on the station, so we had computers running that. We had extra PCs running different things. I think we had something like about 7 or 8 PCs running, plus servers and things. And that all contributed to very high costs for the station, which, frankly, was unsustainable at the time. Yet the station did sound good. We had more presenters coming on board. As we grew, more and more people wanted to join the station. We talked to the Griffin School. We set up an enrichment program there. So youngsters from the Griffin School would come down, learn about radio. And then also some of those young members came through our system, which is great. We had quite a few young members that have done very well for themselves. One of the first was a guy called Connor, and he's gone off now. I think he's got an apprenticeship with ITV, as like a trainee broadcasting presenter. And he's done very well for himself, and you could tell he would straight away. Very professional he was, and we hope he's going to go a long way. Another young lad, Callum, he's done very well for himself. He's off at university now, working at his radio station. Will Roney is another one who's working at his radio station. Dawn Cross, another one. And it was lovely to see these youngsters coming through. Plus also, let's not forget the older generation who was given a purpose, something to do in their spare time, and some of these people took to it like a duck to water. It's not easy trying to learn a new skill when you're in your 60s. It's not easy when you're in your 50s, you know. But some of these people, like Big Al, who came in this morning, he'd just come in, he'd already retired. I think coming on Paul Peters' show a couple of times, and then next thing you know, he is here, there and everywhere, and you can't keep him off the radio. Big Al, again, another one of the new presenters. I say new presenters, he's been with us a few years now. New people come in and go in. And presenters will go on because sometimes they move, sometimes they've got job commitments. And I think that's good for the station in some respects. As some people leave, new people take over. And we try and keep a succession of people. And it's very difficult because at the end of the day, everybody's a volunteer. And you want them to commit to the schedule as much as possible. But it's not always easy. So sometimes people can't make a show. And we do a thing where, you know, other people stand in. So the shows are getting more consistent. We get more people, more presenters here. We get a wider variety of music. We get more feedback from the community as well now. We've never actually gone actively out to recruit presenters, but they've started to appear with more people starting to email the studio. Can we get involved and things? And which is really nice. We've still got a couple more people on the go at the moment training.
We'll maybe come on to what the sort of current need is in a short while, but you've alluded there to the fact that, you know, it's come on quite a long way in those years, and even just the moving of a radio station. We were at Greenhill, as you say.
Yeah.
Moving from there to here is a huge task, isn't it? There's so much equipment and
the technical side of it. We moved out and we're on air the same day, right, which was an incredible undertaking. We had a lot of people working this, and we had to go live in the studio when we finally dismantled the last part of the computer, run into the system and switch over. And it wasn't easy. Again, people like our technical team that we had at the time, with Dan Gruner, did a wonderful job. Literally, some of the stuff was walked down to the station from Carpenter's Arms, literally carried down in hands and things like this. Some stuff was brought out in vans, trying to get it through the door. And meanwhile, you're trying to work and run a show when you've still got wires hanging from the ceilings and things. But everything that has been thrown at the station, we've managed it. And that goes to the testament of the whole station, all the members. That's something that all the members should be proud of.
Everybody pulls together. You again alluded a short while ago about the business model for running a station like this. Now, unfortunately, there's no body out there that funds this sort of thing. We're very much down to raising our own money and making it work. Where does the money come from? I think you mentioned membership fees, but there's quite a lot of money involved in keeping a station like this on air, isn't there?
There is. When I took over as chairman, one of the things I needed to do was look at the accounts and work out how we can actually make this more sustainable, because we did go through quite a bad patch, and we reduced a lot of our systems here. We simplified everything right down. We made some computers do a little bit more work, took some of the computers out of the system, and lo and behold, the station still worked. And we also got quite a bit of help from a couple of guys who were involved with Radio Ridgeway, which is the hospital radio station down in Dorchester. They came up and gave us quite a bit of help. And I think that was really important because it showed that it's not just people that want you to succeed. There's other presenters, there's other radio stations, and there's a certain camaraderie between radio stations generally. And they offered us quite a bit of help. When they eventually set up their own full station, we've reciprocated, we've helped them. And I think that's the way radio stations should work together. It's not a competition. It should be about working for the communities. There's going to be areas where we overlap, but the community must come first. And that's one thing I think we've got right on the station. The community comes first above all our egos. There's no room for any more egos after mine's in the station.
We should say that we have a number of very generous supporters that keep us going, both by way of advertising and by sponsorship. And yep. Without them, we would be struggling, wouldn't we?
We would be struggling a huge amount. And some of the people have been with us right from the word go. Some have come on board at various times. We've had quite a few people help us out in the early days when they know full well that they weren't going to get anything out of the station because we weren't listened to enough, but yet they still helped us because they thought we was part of the community, which is important. But we've got quite a few, even small companies, are actually prepared to help us and keep us going. We got little adverts going out on the hour.
And then there are people that sponsor programmes. And that all helps our income, clearly, doesn't
yeah.
it, as well?
And we try to help them as much as possible. We never say, oh, this is what you're going to get, and just stick at that. We tend to give them more than we always say that we're going to give them.
Yes.
The other thing is, well, going out to all these different fates, the Sherborne Castle fair, we don't get paid for doing that, but it's great advertising for the station. We help enormously now at the Sherborne Festive Shopping Day, which is a big one for us. We put up two PA systems. We get a certain amount of help with funding from that, from the Chamber of Commerce. These events are events that puts us actually in the public eye, not that they can hear us. They can actually see us, and we talk to people. And this is really important when our members are out in amongst the audience talking to people. People like Nigel Phillips, who's come on recently, he was a wonder. He was out there with everyone. He's so well known on the local scene because he's a proper Sherborne boy. And we mustn't forget also our directors as well. Mm. Some of the work they do behind the scenes.
Now, what role do the directors fulfil? I guess their real remit is to be in the background. They're not presenters themselves, are they? But they're in the background and they should be overseeing the good running of the station and yeah. making sure that there's a direction in which we are travelling.
I personally look at it as like them being our moral guidance. If we are straying away from the line of the way we should be, they should be tapping someone like myself on the shoulder to say, Taff, I think you need to have a look at which direction you're going at the moment. You're going away from maybe the community, or you're not addressing this aspect in the community. And I think that's quite important. And to that end, we've got some people that are really well known in the community. For instance, Kev Gould, he's born and bred in Sherborne. Bonnie Sarton with the Yetis, everybody knows Bonnie. And Bonnie's got a fantastic reputation. Plus Jane Smith as well. Jane, a former mayoress and business lady in the town and all that. Wonderful person as well. Given us quite a bit of tips over the years. And it's important that we listen to people like that who are not too close that they can't see the overall picture.
Sure. Let's have another record, shall we?
Yep.
You said about Video Killed the Radio Star. Should we have that one?
Yeah.
Who's it by?
The Buggles.
The Buggles. Oh,
Trevor Horn, if I remember rightly.
Okay, let's have it. The Buggles there with Video Killed the Radio Star. We certainly hope that that isn't going to be the situation.
Well, I think the death of ham radio has been exaggerated a little bit. I think radio is actually alive and well, and a lot of people are listening to it. There's a lot of radio stations out there, some doing an absolutely fantastic job, some aimed specifically at a particular market, which I think is fine, and then that particular crowd will enjoy that. Others that are more geared towards a community, which is like what we are. And I think we have a place in the radio world, same as just about everybody else does as well.
And we should say that although we aim at serving Sherborne and the surrounding communities, by no means is that our entire audience.
Well,
we have people all over the world, in fact, isn't
we
it?
We do, and some presenters have a lot of emails coming in. Regular listeners down in New Zealand, plenty of other people in Australia, America. There's loads of people all over the world, and it still surprises me all the time. Now, when I was doing the show yesterday, I had an email from somebody that was up in, I think, Kent way. And I think, why are they listening here? But it's brilliant that they are. That's the great beauty about radio, being online as well as on FM. FM, you're talking to the area. We've got such a lot of little nooks and crannies, and radio signal isn't as good as it could be on FM. So a lot of these people now, out in the villages, they can listen online. And if you think about people, you know, 20 years ago, somebody in their 70s, a lot of these people now are computer literate. And I think this is really important. They're a lot smarter, they're more savvy with the technology now. They've got their iPads, they've got digital radios, all these things. They're online, they can email the station. And we've got older presenters. Our age range on the radio station is incredible. I think there's a 70-year difference between the oldest and the youngest.
Well, we mentioned Mary a little while ago, and of course she is our oldest member.
Yeah.
And she was on this programme not that long ago, and quite a character and a real ambassador for Abbey.
She is an ambassador. When we first started the station, Mary was always there, but she has grown to become an integral part of the station. The amount of work that she does, she is constantly advertising the station. She's walking around with a little hat on. She's even been immortalised in Sherborne's postcards now, which I think is absolutely wonderful. But she's a well-known figure around town. She's had a very hard life, but she loves radio, and she loves being a part of Abbey Unifor, and we love her being a part of Abbey Unifor. She's a great part of Paul Peters' show on a Monday morning, and also on our show on a Friday morning as well. But we've also got younger members.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that previously, and we could probably do with some more younger members.
We could.
What tends to happen is it's absolutely natural. They come in and they do a show for a while, then they go off to university quite often.
Yeah, but I think we didn't work on that enough this time, which is our own fault a little bit. We should have planned the succession better. So we're looking at new members coming up soon. Talk to the colleges. We've talked to the schools themselves. We want more involvement because it's important that we get a cross-reference of all the town being involved with the radio station. I think that's the way to go forward. And also, sometimes when you see some of these youngsters come into the studio and they're so shy, nervous and all that, then they leave about a year later, 2 years later, actually out there, you know. But we give them a chance to talk. We give them a chance to actually do the things themselves. We don't just say, you'll do this, you'll do that, you'll do this, you'll do that. We give them a chance to express themselves in the radio station. Young Annabelle, she won't thank me for saying this, she's still only 16. She went off to India recently with the Sherborne Girls School and girls from Lewiston and Griffin School, as far as I'm aware. They all went off to India. She went out there with one of our radio recorders and did an interview with the British ambassador to India. Now, that's a 16-year-old girl just going up and having a chat with an ambassador. I'd have been nervous about doing that. I dare say quite a few of her other presenters would have been very nervous about doing that.
Absolutely.
And that's the key difference between how they start with us and how they grow. And even if they never use radio again, we'll have helped them in their development as an adult. We'll have given them a lot more confidence to talk to people. This is incredibly important for people going for interviews and things like that.
Look, time will run away with us, I know, because every week it does on this programme.
me talking.
What do we need right now, if there's people out there listening saying, it's a really good cause, how can I get involved? What do we need? Presenters? Advertisers? Money? What?
We would like more help with maybe somebody that's possibly a retired advertising executive or something like that to come in and maybe help to showcase, because we, at the moment now, we're in the process looking at plans for the next 5 years. We have to grow. We don't want to grow too much that we suddenly become a faceless entity, you know, and all this. We want to keep a community close to us. but we have to grow. You can't just stand still. And to do that, I think what would be great would be to have a slightly bigger premises where we could have two studios. That way we could do much more in the way of training. And this will help enormously for the community schools and youngsters coming through training. Some of the technical work that goes on behind the scenes, we could do with a little bit more help with that.
We have, to some extent, become a victim of our own success because we have so many live programmes now during the week that it's actually quite difficult to get in here to do recording or editing of programmes or any of the other things that people need to do. So
and the actual training.
Absolutely, such, that's a big thing, isn't it? And that's where the second studio comes in.
So. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a massive premises, but it's a way forward. We have to look at growing and we have to look at... I would like to have some proper debate in the studio, as in like having a proper table in there, one microphone in the centre, six chairs around it, and having debate from people around the town, for instance, about issues that involve the town centre or the villages, coming in and actually talking about it in a frank, open discussion so people can listen in and phone in. That would be great to be able to do. Unfortunately, we can't do things like that, really, in such a small premises. If we don't get the money to do that, then we can just carry on as we are and try and do the very best that we can do, which is what we have been doing for the last...
I mean, people listening who think, I've always fancied myself as a radio DJ, can they get involved?
Yes, they can still get involved. All they've got to do is just email the studio, studio@abbey104.com, or even just pop in and talk to people and say, how do I do this? The door is always open. When there's a live show on, the door is always open. People can walk in. Every presenter is very friendly on the station, and they will give all sorts of help, give you all the advice you need. But we're always looking for new people. And age, nothing is a barrier to what we want.
Okay, we're going to take our penultimate track, which is Rock DJ by Robbie Williams, and then we'll come back and round off and talk about the future.
Show, kicking with your torso, boys getting high and the girls even more so. Wave your hands if you're not with a man. Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
I got, you got, we got everybody. I got the gift, gonna stick it in the goal. It's time to move your body. Music for your masses. Give no head, no backstage passes. Have a proper giggle, I'll be quite polite. But when I rock the mic, I rock the mic. You got no love, then you're with the wrong man. It's time to move your body. If you can't get a girl, but your best friend can, it's time to move your body.
Well, we're going to fade Robbie down a little bit there because time is against us. Taff is in the studio. We're talking about Abbey 104, the past, the present and the future. And we've probably got to the future now, Taff, haven't we, really? What's the future of local radio? Because there's so many different media out there these days. Apart from television, you've got music streaming services now and you've got internet services.
Yeah, you've got all the social media as well. And a lot of people are turning away from regular, the old paper print. But it's important that, you know, in Sherborne alone, we've got a couple of good papers. We've got a Conduit magazine that's doing a once a month, very good magazine, lots of watch-ons and things like that in there. Lots of small features. You've got the Sherborne Times as well, which is doing very well. Two totally, completely different magazines, but have evolved due to the way changing. Radio's got to change. radio is going to evolve and work with the terms that we're allowed to. And by that, I mean, there's only a certain amount of advertising we can do. So we have to think about funding. So we have to look at how can we gain more funding. Now, there are grants available, but sometimes it can be more beneficial to work with a larger business in Sherborne, for instance, to say, right, how can we partnership up? You are helping in the community. We are working with the community. There's various aspects we could look at that, and that's something that needs to be planned and thought out long
and
term.
You already work with the Chamber of Trade, don't you?
Yes.
That's a good source of getting involved with businesses around the town.
It is. One of the things I did when I first took over as chairman is get involved with them, the Chamber of Commerce. We want to be part of the community, and to be part of that, we want to find out what's going on. The Chamber of Commerce is doing a fantastic job for the town. A lot of people don't realise how much work the people on the Chamber do themselves. There's a huge amount of work goes on in the background by only a very few people. We have got a similar process. We do a hell of a lot of work around the town, in the villages, and for the town. People don't always see that. Quite often they see the results of something, but they don't see what's actually been done to create that awareness about what goes on. And I think that's really important. For the station itself, we've got new members joining on a regular basis. And we've got, say, younger members. We need more younger members. People like Yanni, who does the Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, he does
session.
Essential Mix.
The Essential Mix. I couldn't figure the title of it.
Saturday, and then he does a love song programme on the song.
Oh, yeah. we call him Eros now.
He's a love god, isn't he? Yes. you're quite right. He's a slightly younger.
But people like
generation.
Yanni and some of the younger members are the future of Abbey 104. Mm. They have to be. We have to look at what their thoughts are as well.
As well
station.
As representing a genre of music that the older members around aren't quite so familiar with.
Exactly. And also, they need to look at how they can bring people into the station as well. It's got to be across the board, all different genres. And we've got a lot of genres covered on the station. We've got jazz, we've got blues, we've got rock, we've got country. There's all sorts of things. We've got, you know, like Yanni's mixes and things like that. We've got that wild stuff, you know, that James will quite often do on a Saturday morning, you know, and he'll have some right old chin wags in with different people.
We should mention Neil Ware as well.
Neil Ware does some very eclectic shows on a Monday night. Where else can you find a feature on 1980s Iranian pop? I don't know.
Right, we've got to bring the programme to a close, but in summary then, the funding we obviously need, any organisation needs to keep the funding sources going, so it's advertising and sponsorship and involvement with other companies in that respect. It's evolution, not revolution, and growing the business gradually.
That's right, but growing with the community.
Yes.
As the community is growing, Abbey 104 needs to grow and look at those changes. And hopefully there's businesses out there in Sherborne which are growing themselves, which can take advantage of some of the work that Abbey 104 does and also help us fund our way forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Taff, it's been great talking about the station. We hope that people will get in contact with us and say, yeah, I'd like to get involved in that. And there's lots of different ways you can do so. But thank you for coming in, and we look forward to seeing Abbey continue to prosper.
Well, I'd like to say Happy New Year to all our members, listeners.
Quite right. We're going to go out with Ray Stevens and Turn Your Radio On. Seems appropriate, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
Thanks, Taff.
Thanks, Teddy.
Turn your radio on.
Oh, yes, turn your radio on.
And listen to the music. Everybody is a radio receiver. All you gotta do is listen for the call. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you're listening, you will be a believer, leaning on the truth that will never fall. Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.